Quiet of our souls, and know that every right and good outworking will issue forth from all of the prayers that we have here today.
Into putting down the cheese heads today, the Packers. Who out of you would like to help me expand consciousness and have a metaphysical duel at high noon today?
I'm your Huckleberry.
All right, then, Daisy. Yeah, ministerial intern. Bring it.
Yeah, sure is easy to spot a goat amongst a flock of sheep.
There's four people that you never argue with, sonny boy. A mule, a skunk, a preacher man, and a cook.
Speak your peace, preacher man, but you better ride a fast horse.
There's two theories on how to argue with a woman, and neither of them work. Pilgrim, why do they duel in circles like this? And why do they squint?
Say when.
When? It's a cowboy fist bump right there. Welcome to Cowboy Sunday. Where we will learn how to say important things instead of amen, like,
yeehaw!
Just like that. Today, we will learn how to step into our word for the year, our theme for the year, which is
expansion.
And we're going to do it by working with the cowboy code. There's something called a cowboy code, and I'm going to get my cowboy clicker here. Now, I did some research last night that I want you to know about. I went to my very first rodeo. It was my first rodeo. Down in Cowtown, I went to Fort Worth, and contrary to what people were saying, I did not try to expand my bull riding skills after the little mishap we had with the mechanical bull. But you are more than welcome after the service if you need help achieving your cowboy code today. Idea also with Val Kilmer of Tombstone, which just happens to be my favorite Western, I believe, where he says, I'm your Huckleberry. He steps into the light. Always, no matter what his challenge was, no matter what he had in front of him, he was putting others above himself, like Wyatt Earp, where he defended him in this shot, stepping into his light. So wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Wouldn't you like to be able to just say win? Like our esteemed ministerial intern did up here, you demonstrated so eloquently. Say win to what? If you're procrastinating anything in your life, if you're procrastinating what you wrote on your stone last week, during the white stone ceremony, you wrote a word that came from spirit that bubbled up, and you said, this is what my intention is for the year. This is what's going to happen. And any challenge that you face, to be able to step into the light and say, yeah, it's win. It's time right now. It is time. Now, he did it in a way that no matter what he was facing, he stayed calm. In the movie, if you saw the movie Tombstone, he just stayed calm. And he might be dueling the fastest gun, Johnny Ringo, but he was able to just kind of wink at him. And then he'd say win. He was calm, even despite his tuberculosis that he was dying from. He did it anyway. He overcame the challenges. So Westerns are like that for many people. That's why they were so popular for so long, because they had resilience, and the men had honor and integrity in those films, and their ability to just overcome whatever it was. Carl Jung was a famous psychologist who developed the analytical psychology. And he said that there's religions, there's social studies, there's economics, and there's all these educational points, like I said, religion and things like that, that develop an archetype, that we develop an archetype that stands for the beliefs, like what we believe in. And some people become an archetype over time. And one of those archetypes is the cowboy. So that's what we're going to take a look at today, to see what you can do to overcome, just like Doc Holliday there. Now, in the Holocaust, there was a famous survivor, and there was a psychiatrist named Viktor Frankl. And he said that it was when we're going through our spiritual walk and we're going through challenges, we try to figure out how we're going to do it. So we're going to discuss that today. We know when we're going to do it. We got to see, how are we going to do it? But what Viktor Frankl said after he survived the Holocaust was, he said, if a person has the why, they can bear any how. So any how that you're going through in your life, any challenges that you have, whether it be a sickness or a relationship challenge, make sure you are very clear on the why you are doing it. I actually am going to be speaking at when Gary Floyd comes, I'll be here for that day, but later that afternoon I'll be speaking at the Holocaust Museum here in Dallas, and I have to speak and talk about some of these ideas and get into the history and everything. So I so respect the when and the hows and of the survivors and everything that they had to go through to keep going. People that kept going in our unity history was Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. Now, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were pioneers in every sense of the word. Wouldn't you say? Yeah. I mean, they knew their why they had to do it, because Myrtle Fillmore also developed tuberculosis. They told her it was a death sentence. And this is the late 1800s, and let me tell you, her and Charles had been in covered wagons, and they were going through Colorado around the mountains on horses and all this type of thing. It's a great story. How many of you have read The Story of Unity? Raise your hand. It's good, isn't it? I mean, it reads really well by James Dellett Freeman, who wrote that book. So they developed a whole spiritual movement based on the devastation and the challenges that they were having to try to figure out how they could step into the light. Now, some of you, some people out there may have heard that it was Cowboy Sunday. They may have heard that we were inviting people to dress up, and by the way, you look fabulous. your cowboy gear. But what if you were not a cowboy fan or a Western fan? Did you kind of raise your eyebrows at it a little bit and say, what are we doing? I don't know. Well, one of our things we're going to do as we have expansion this year is we're going to have fun doing it. Because I'm going to show you a few of the hows that's coming up at Unity this year, what we're doing, and it's going to be challenging. You're going to have to reach deep and go deep to align with God and to be able to expand further. But we believe that on your spiritual journey, you are allowed to have a lot of fun doing it. Now, the other reason that some of you may have raised your eyebrows a little bit is you kind of have that archetype of cowboys from your Western music that you've heard, that country music. And country music, I mean, let's face it, some of it can be very, how should we say, hokey. Some of it can be a little bit sad or a lot sad, right? They say if you want to be less sad, listen to country music, listen to it backwards, because the dog comes home, the ex-wife or the wife, and both of them, I mean, whatever, you know, they come home. But today, I want you to know that I have sort of fine-tuned a little bit of a list of country music, some of the most hokiest music that I like. And it has such lyrics as, I'm so lonely without you, it's almost like you're here. Yeah. Maybe you've heard that one. Maybe you've heard this one, because analysts say, psychologists say, listen to sad music if you need to.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind.
I mean, can you think of anything more depressing? Okay. George Jones. Now we have this one. Maybe you've heard this one. It's in black and white. Some of you millennials down here probably don't know who this guy is. I mean, it's a picture in black and white, so you know it's all.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is flying. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Hank, right there. And I would be remiss if I did not do this one. I could never hit that high note, so that's why I'm lip syncing, but a song that's a little bit sad, you might find some sad lyrics, but that I just like, it's always been my favorite sad song, is we're going to go for this. All right, we're going to try a couple lines of this. Ready? Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Let them be doctors and lawyers and ministers and such. All right. Now we're going to do it together, because I just happen to have the words right here. We're going to do it together while the band gets up.
Babies grow.
Cause they never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
Awesome. So it's a little bit sad, but as we, there is not all cowboy songs are sad. In fact, there's going to be a song after the Peach song that you can sing along with as you're leaving. That's the inverse of this song, Should Have Been a Cowboy, by Toby Keith. All right, so we'll have that going on. And all songs are not sad. I mean, name a country song that's not sad.
Dancer Home, Good Morning Beautiful.
Good Morning Beautiful, absolutely. All right, so we're going to take a look at some things that are not going to make us sad as we go through our How this year. I want you to look at the screen. These are events coming up at Unity that just a few, I started listing them out. And I was like, we are so busy at Unity. There is such an opportunity coming up over the next even couple months for you to be able to have classes, decide on the win, and then this can be one of your Hows. As Eric mentioned, Mind and Meditation, and then we have book study with Deb Stovall. And then, yes, Toastmasters this week. I mean, come join us for Open House, and just if you're interested in public speaking or if that's your edge, that's what your challenge is. If that's a new frontier for you, join us for that. We won't make you speak the first day, and there's going to be food there, so there you go. The Alternative Ministry, that's going to be an awesome Friday night. We're going to get to where we're doing that every Friday night, and Spiritual Movie Night will be included in that. And then we got other things coming up. You know, the Divine Sisters meet every week. And also this, every month, like I said, every month. And something I'm very excited about, the C Intensive, the SEE, Spiritual and Education Intensives are coming up in March. And then in May as well. But we will have at least 5 classes going on for 5 days. And some of the very best teachers. So definitely stay tuned for that. We have Michael Gott coming on the 29th. Sir Floyd will be here. We even have Michael Murdad coming in a couple of months as well. And then the famous book study, the in-home small groups book study that's been going on here for a while, for many years. You can find out in the next couple of weeks how to get plugged into that. It's very popular, it's effective, and we'll be studying You Are the Placebo, and you can take a look at that book. You can take a look at that book in our book nook as you leave. Now today, let's take a look at the Cowboy Code. The Hows, the Cowboy Code right here. Says things like, never take unfair advantage, even if it's going up against someone else. Never go back on your word. Always tell the truth. Must be gentle with children, the elderly, and animals. He must not advocate, possess racially or religious intolerant ideas. Yeehaw. He must help people in distress. He must be a good worker. He must respect women, parents, and the nation's laws. And the last one's a little confusing at first. The cowboy is a patriot. Patriot fan. Could be a premonition of what's coming up. I don't know. Now, these are not uniquely American concept or archetype. Many throughout cultures, throughout religions, and throughout time, leaders have spoke of this. Certainly Jesus of Nazareth, Wayshower, spoke of this idea of treating others and loving others as yourself. If you want to have friends, you better be friendly. Of course, he spoke of the Good Samaritan, right? The story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, where helping others less fortunate than yourself. Putting yourself out there. So that's the cowboy code. It was a written code back in the day, but it's what they talked about. It's what the cowboys, the camaraderie that they spoke of and that they had with each other. So I want to nail it down to 3 today. 3 that I want you to think about as you develop your year in each day, as you're expanding your paradigm and expanding your inner cowboy, cowgirl. Honor. So integrity, right? So the cowboyism with that would be a man afoot is no man at all. Why did they use that back in the day? You don't have a horse. How can you call yourself a true cowboy? How do you say, you might be called what they say a dandy cowboy. That's where you just kind of look the part. You don't really have a horse or any cattle. Just have a hat, no cattle, right? Not really a cowboy. So we got a question in real layman's terms and in our everyday spiritual life, what is our integrity? Where are we coming from when we step out there into the world each day? The next one is loyalty. Loyalty, a full house divided, don't win no pots. Now the pot they were referring to is the poker pot, right? Okay, that's the one they're referring to. Splitting up the hands, nobody would win, right? But in that way, who are you loyal to? House divided cannot stand if it's your family. It's hard for it to stand. If it's your spiritual community, that's why we say we put principles ahead of personalities, right? So a house divided not can't stand. Who is your loyalty to? Yourself, your family, God. And the last one, you got to be resilient. True grit. How many of you seen that movie? Oh, yeah. John Wayne, right? Now, let me just tell you a quick little story about that. I went to the dentist on Monday. Ooh, major dental work. It was no fun at all. And I get there, and I'm quite surprised that there in front of my chair is a movie, True Grit. Now, on the way to the dentist, I was considering, man, did I really tell people to dress like cowboys? You know, that Monday morning armchair quarterback, you second guess a little bit. And I get there, I lay in the chair, and there's confirmation right there, True Grit. Now, I don't know if that's the movie I would choose as a doctor. Because, you know, when they start shooting and everything, and all those instruments are in your mouth, and hands in your mouth, you start jerking a little bit. And I'm just sitting there. And he's got that wedge thing that where you can't open your mouth any wider, and he's working on me. And all of a sudden, John Wayne says something, and he just stops. And he looks up, he says, I like John Wayne. So I'm sitting there thinking about this movie as I'm getting drilled on. And it's interesting because you saw the movie. There's, what's it called, Maddie Rose? And here's a teenage girl that is very businesslike. I mean, she is focused on one thing. What is it? Revenge. Revenge because somebody killed her pop, her pa. So then she goes to find a man who can bring him to justice. The man she chooses is not somebody that anybody thinks could bring anybody to justice anymore because they call him kind of a fat old cowboy. But she sees something in him. She sees true grit. She sees his truth, the true grit. And so they go on this adventure together. And they get to this river. They get to this river. It's a whole metaphysical movie. They get to this river, and all of a sudden, John Campbell, who's a sidekick, Glenn Campbell, is a sidekick. Like I said, I was under some kind of anesthesia at the time. that was a sidekick, you know. And they decide that they're not going to let the girl go with them. He calls her little sis. And there's the archetype for him was that she couldn't go on, that she wouldn't last a day. So he tells the person at the ferry crossing, hey, $50, get her back to town. She's not going with us. So then they're going across on the ferry, going across the river, and all of a sudden John Wayne looks around, and there she is going across the river on her horse. Nothing's going to stop her. That's resilience. And I knew she had resilience. I knew she had true grit when she got across there and she rode up and her wardrobe wasn't even wet. And that's like walking on water stuff. I mean, it didn't look that way, but. So he turns and he looks and he says, that little sis reminds me of me. True grit. So they go through this arc as a character in the movie. And by the end of it, she realizes he's more than a true grit. She realizes he's heart. And she grows to love him as a father. And then he realizes, whoa, there's a lot more to her than what I saw before. And they expanded their paradigm. And they realized, what they realized most was they spent all this time seeking revenge. It's all they could think about. And by the end of the movie, they realize they should be putting all that energy and that effort toward just life and living. So, oh man, I got fired up about it, and I got fired up about getting out of the dentist. Let's take a look at this Bible verse real quick. Okay, so this Bible verse out of Isaiah 54:10 from the New American Standard Bible. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And I like it because I think that's the three that I just went over. I mean, there's resilience in that. Not be shaken, no matter what happens. There's loyalty in that. I will love you. God's love is always present. But are you willing to just stop and tune into that? Get into alignment with that today. When? And then also, this next thing, Doc Holliday was a dentist, by the way. He really was. I mean, that's what he did. And you know, back then, they used to, the blacksmith were also dentists. Isn't that weird that somebody would come work on your teeth after putting a horseshoe, you know, dealing with the horses and everything? But America's team also has this ability to overcome adversity. Now, you may not, like I said, you may not be in love with America's team, or you may not even understand why they call them America's team. After they were named America's team, then all the other teams were saying, no, we're America's team, no, we're America's team. And it could be argued back then that, well, we have a bigger fan base, and that's why. But the term did not happen then. And I want to show you a video now that gets into where is the term comes from, and then what is the code that this year's Cowboys have to be able to go from last to first in their division. Let's take a look at this video.
There's only one America's team. And like Uncle Sam, the Bald Eagle, and Old Glory, the Dallas Cowboys are a symbol of the Republic.
America's team is number one, regardless whether they win or lose.
No other country in the world really has one professional sports team that stands for the entire nation.
What's the favorite team back in Japan here in America?
Dallas Cowboys.
America's team, huh?
Yeah.
It was simply a magic moment when a sports team seemed to embody longings for a reassertion of American identity.
America's team was a product of the 70s. Only the Cowboys had the most American of nicknames. A modern-day cowboy on the sideline, a national hero at quarterback. And neither of them were the franchise's biggest stars.
Do you know where the TV cameras spend most of the time? It's on those girls, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Two magic words fused all that cultural power into something bigger.
America's team possessed enough stars to fill a galaxy.
There's only one America's team. And strangely, for a country that loves a winner, the story of how the Dallas Cowboys became that team begins with a defeat. In January of 1979, the Cowboys' reign as world champions ended with a crushing defeat in Super Bowl 13.
Every year.
So I think we can relate to that in our lives sometimes, how we've had something happen that wouldn't have happened without a defeat. That phrase probably would have never happened to America's team because the filmmakers at NFL Film were tasked with the responsibility to make a year-end film. It was the most important film they did of the team. And they were trying to figure out what, they just were devastated. They just lost the Super Bowl after being world champions. And so the filmmaker came up with this idea of America's team, and it starts with the hole in the roof so that God can see his favorite team. You've heard that. As if God can't see through a dome. I don't know. Fumble right there, so you don't know. The current Cowboys, also, thank you, had to overcome defeat. They had to be resilient this year. And the way they started was they put a creed together. They put a code together at the beginning of the year. The coach, the head coach, Jason Garrett, suggested it. The players got together, and they didn't leave until they had come up with a creed of 21 sentences. And it's on a 5-foot board, and they carry it to their games with them. And there's videos playing of it so they can remember what they are playing for, so that they can remember the why and remember why they are doing it for each other. Zeke, the running back, said, hey, you know, it's not just words on paper. It's a way of life for us. It's way more than football. It's a way of life wherever we go. There's an article in today's paper. It says faith at the top of it. So can you sense this little shift, paradigm shift that's happening? But that needs to happen in our world today. We need to do what it says here in this slide about Cowboys, our mission. Just like here at Unity, it's a mission to inspire, serving as a catalyst for action by others. So the way you are, the way you live by your code is going to inspire others. When? Now. Nobody did that better. Or someone who absolutely did it to this degree was Martin Luther King Jr. It's MLK Day tomorrow. And what does he say? He says, the life's most urgent question, this is what you can ask yourself every day. What are you doing for others? What are you doing for your other? It's not enough to just write it during the White Stone ceremony. Got to go act. Got to go live it. And you got to pay tribute to other people. Today, after the offering, we are going to pay tribute to our prayer chaplains. And it'll go, you know, just a couple minutes, but these guys are our prayer warriors out there on the front line making it happen and expanding new frontiers. So we're going to do that. And now, right before, we're going to do a meditation real quick as Eric comes up. Let's think about this. Tomorrow, according to John Wayne, is the most important thing in life. It comes into us at midnight, very clean. It's perfect when it arrives, and it puts itself in our hands. It hopes we've learned something from yesterday. I love that. But at Unity, we know we don't have to wait till midnight. We can do it right now. So go Cowboys and yee-haw. Thank you.
As the lights settle, allow you all to uncross your hands.